Part 7. How to Have Indistractable Relationships. Chapter 34. Spread Social Antibodies Among Friends. When we are with friends, we're never really alone in their company. Our phones are almost assuredly present and ready to interrupt us with a poorly timed notification. Who hasn't witnessed a friend lose attention mid-conversation to reflexively check a phone? Most of us simply accept these interruptions, sighing them away as a sign of the times. Unfortunately, distraction is contagious. When smokers get together, the first one to take out a pack sends a cue, and when others notice, they do the same. In a similar way, digital devices can prompt others' behavior. When one person takes out a phone at dinner, it acts as an external trigger. Soon, others are lost in their screens at the expense of the conversation. Psychologists call this phenomenon social contagion, and researchers have found that it influences our behavior from drug use to overeating. It's hard to watch your weight if your spouse and kids insist on mowing down a dozen frosted donuts as you pick at your kale salad. And it's difficult to change your tech habits when your family and friends shun you in favor of their screens. Given the enormous influence others have on our actions, how can we manage distraction around those with whom we want to spend uninterrupted quality time? How do we change our tendencies towards distraction when those around us haven't changed theirs? Essayist and investor Paul Graham writes that societies tend to develop what he calls social antibodies, defenses against new harmful behaviors. Consider that in 1965, according to the Centers for Disease Control, 42.4% of adult Americans smoked, a number that is expected to fall to just 12% by 2020. Of course, legal restrictions played an important role in the precipitous decline in smoking rates. However, laws do not prevent people from smoking in their homes, and yet that custom changed even in the absence of regulation. I remember my parents keeping ashtrays around the house in my childhood, despite being non-smokers. At the time, people smoked indoors, around children, and at the office, pretty much wherever they pleased. My mother did her best to discourage the smoking habit by providing an ashtray shaped like a bony skeleton hand. But that not-so-subtle reminder of the consequences of smoking was all she felt comfortable doing. In those days, it was considered strange, if not rude, to ask someone to smoke outside your home. Today, however, things are very different. I've never owned an ashtray. No one has ever asked to smoke in my home. They already know the answer. It scares me to imagine the look on my wife's face if someone were to light up in our living room couch. That person wouldn't be in our house or in our circle of friends for long. How did the norms around smoking change so dramatically in the course of just one generation? According to Graham's theory, people adopted social antibodies to protect themselves, similar to the way our bodies fight back against bacteria and viruses that can harm us. The remedy for distraction in social situations involves the development of new norms that make it taboo to check one's phone when in the company of others. Social norms are changing, but whether they change for the better is up to us. The only way to make sure certain unhealthy behaviors are no longer acceptable is to call them out and address them with social antibodies that block their spread. This tactic worked with smoking, and it can work with digital distractions. Let's imagine you're at a dinner party when someone takes out his phone and starts to tap away. While you likely already know that spending time on a device in an intimate social setting is rude, there's often at least one person who hasn't learned the new social norm. Embarrassing him in front of others isn't a good idea, assuming you want to stay friends. A subtler tactic is required. To help keep things cordial, a simple and effective approach is to ask a direct question that can snap the offender out of the phone zone by giving him two simple options. One, either excuse himself to attend to the crisis happening on his device, or two, kindly put away his phone. The question goes like this: I see you're on your phone. Is everything okay? Remember to be sincere. After all, there might really be an emergency. But more often than not, he'll mutter a little excuse, tuck his phone back into his pocket, and start enjoying the night again. Victory is yours. You've succeeded in tactfully spreading the social antibody against fubbing, a word coined by the ad agency McCann for the McGuire Dictionary. Fubbing is a portmanteau of phone and snubbing, means quote, to ignore a person or one's surroundings when in a social situation by busying oneself with a phone or other mobile device. The dictionary assembled experts to create the word in order to give people a way to call out the problem. Now it's up to us to start using the term so that it may become another positive social antibody in our arsenal against distractions in social settings. Modern technologies like smartphones, tablets, and laptops aren't the only sources of distraction in social situations. Many restaurants have wall-to-wall television sets, each with a different channel flashing headline news or a sports game that can easily disrupt conversations. Because of our acceptance of having televisions playing in the background in social settings, they can be equally, if not more, pernicious at distracting our attention away from the people we're with. Distraction among friends can take other forms, including our own children. For example, during a recent get-together, just as a good friend began to share his personal and professional struggles, one of his children came to the table and demanded a juice box. The conversation immediately shifted to the needs of the child. Such an innocent interruption has the ability to derail an important and sensitive conversation, the kind that solidifies close friendships. The next time we had dinner together, we made sure to put everything the kids would need, including food and drinks, in another room. The kids received clear instructions not to interrupt the adults unless someone was bleeding. All external triggers, whether coming from our phones or our kids, deserve scrutiny to determine whether they are serving us. Our children are also better served when they learn to take care of themselves. And by watching their parents model fellowship, they learn the importance of tuning out distraction to focus on friends. If we are not intentional about making the time and space for distraction-free discussions, we risk losing the opportunity to truly know others and allow them to truly know us. In the same way society reduced social smoking with social antibodies, we can reduce distraction while with friends. By getting agreement from our friends and families to manage distraction and taking steps to remove external triggers that don't serve us, we can quarantine the social contagion of distraction while with people we love. Remember this. Distraction in social situations can keep us from being fully present with important people in our lives. Interruptions degrade our ability to form close social bonds. Block the spread of unhealthy behaviors. Social antibodies are ways groups protect themselves from harmful behaviors by making them taboo. Develop new social norms. We can tackle distraction among friends the same way we beat social smoking, by making it unacceptable to use devices in social situations. Prepare a few tactful phrases like asking, "Is everything okay?" to discourage phone usage among friends.